This is the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 15. Today, the first of three EVAs scheduled for the 67-hour lunar stay. Astronauts Scott and Irwin have completed their drive along Hadley Rill and the Apennine Front and have returned to the lunar lander Falcon. They now are loading and preparing to complete a lunar science station that will relay information back to Earth. To bring us up to date on the placement of the lunar science station, we take you to the Manned Spacecraft Center and VOA correspondent Rhett Turner.
We're getting live television back from the moon again as Dave Scott and Jim Irwin set up the experiments package. And there is a the television camera is mounted on the rover, and it is pointed out to the northwest of the rover position, where we can see both astronaut Scott and Irwin as they're opening up these packages of equipment containing all of the science experiments. This is one of the very, very important things which is to be done on this mission as the astronauts leave this science package behind on the surface of the moon, powered by our nuclear generator, to send back information about the moon, the sun, the solar system for 1 or 2 years from now. There are several of these operating. The Apollo 12 is operating down in the Mare to the south, in the Fraumaro Highlands. The Apollo 14, Apollo Experiments Package, is operating. And now this will be a third one. The fact that there are three gives scientists three-dimensional views of many things which are occurring, many scientific phenomena which help us learn more about the origin of the solar system itself, how the moon came to be, and from interpolation of all of this data, how our very Earth was formed, and hopefully when. Let's tune in and listen to the conversations. The men are working fairly hard. They have been outside 5 hours, 3 minutes into this EVA, or extravehicular period. If you happen to be watching on a television screen, wherever you are around the world where this picture is going by satellite, you might see, looks like Jim Irwin in view, as he's stretching out one of the connecting cables between the central monitoring station, or the central instrument station, and one of the experiments. This is to take some time, because they want to be very careful about this. Also, that nuclear generator, which provides power, you have to handle that carefully, because it is quite hot. This little nuclear reactor is about 500 degrees Fahrenheit inside. It has some panes or strips on the side which help radiate its excessive heat out into space. That's Jim Irwin saying the central station is set down. There are some of the electrical leads leading out to experiments are gold-colored, and they reflect the light of the sun as they are pulled and as they move, as the astronauts move them. You can see bright gold reflections on the colored television picture monitoring the event. Viewers in more than 30 countries, ranging from North and South America to Europe and Africa to New Zealand and the Eastern European bloc of nations, are able to see this through the communication satellite. We understand that for the first time, possibly, some viewers in the Soviet Union may also be watching today, including Russia, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland.
Hey, I'm taking the PSE stool out.
Roger, Cam.
The television picture is being provided to the Eastern Bloc of countries, and it's quite possible that this is being seen by more people than any other television picture in history. Astronauts Scott and Irwin setting up the experiments package on the surface of the moon. In the background, the TV camera is focused on a large mountain on the horizon, which in the deep shadow appears only halfway, and it appears to be a great hump rising up on the horizon. Part of the mountain, however, is in the shadow, and so we can't see it all. Not too much conversation there as the men walk about. They've set this experiments package up so many times on what's called the sand pile back home. the area in which they conduct their training exercises in setting up the experiments package, that they know almost blindfolded how to do this. They're hopping about in a very easy gait, which Fred Hayes described as a stutter walk. Remember, they weigh only one-sixth what they weigh on Earth. Let's listen.
There.
I believe that's Scott saying that he pulled a covering off of part of one of the experiment packages. There are two of these big white blocks containing the experiments, sort of a shipping container. He has a tool, a long rod, which he uses to unscrew some of the fastening bolts or straps holding the equipment to the pallet, the shipping pallet, as it's called. Once he loosens one of the experiments...
Hey, Joe, heat flow is leveled and the shadow is right between 2 and 3 on the index.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I believe that's Dave Scott saying the heat flow is leveled. He apparently has already operated the drill. Oh, this is the heat flow central station, the monitoring unit for the heat flow experiment. The objective of this heat flow experiment is to provide the first direct measurement of the rate at which the moon's interior is losing energy to outer space. The measurements are made with a number of precision.
I'll give you a demonstration here, Joe.
Thermometers.
Got the TV on this.
Here he comes.
Here.
There.
Right
There's
here,
the drill.
Right on.
Here it goes.
Oh, he's going to throw it. Oh. He threw.
Beautiful, but I lost my balance.
Spectacular demonstration.
Oh, this was funny. He threw away a covering. And the inertia of the throw was so great that it spun him around completely and he almost fell down. Dave Scott saying, great, but I almost lost my balance. But he caught his footing. And again, this 1/6 gravity is a fantastic thing. It's something that you don't take for granted, obviously. He did not fall down, however.
Other demonstration.
But you could see this discarded covering go sailing off into space in two pieces. One went one direction and one the other. And Scott almost pirouetted and didn't quite fall down. Now we can see Jim Irwin as he's deploying the passive seismometer. This is the most popular and probably the most quoted of the experiments, the most discussed. This is the earthquake detector, which is to pinpoint lunar seismic epicenters, the exact spots from which an earthquake or some sort of a rumble on the moon is generated.
Pick up the drill now.
Roger, Dave.
Dave's going to get out the drill. Now, Jim Irwin is deploying the seismometer.
Beautiful.
It has a great...
And for goodness sakes, hang on to it there. Don't throw it.
Don't throw the drill, Joe Allen tells
me. Yeah, man. Better believe.
What was that a demonstration of, by the way?
This is a joke.
I'm not sure I know.
It started out to be of gravity, and it wound up being of centrifugal force, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, well.
That exchange between Dave Scott and Joe Allen back on Earth. This young man in Mission Control, Joe Allen, is an extremely... bright and interesting person. He is the mission scientist. He is known to be brilliant in his line. And he's also an astronaut. One of the closest of friends with all of the members of this crew. And so there may well be some little inside exchanges, too, to help keep the spirits of all of the men working on the moon and here in Mission Control buoy it up. And Joe has a particular capacity for coming up with light and jocular remarks to help things keep on an even keel. The passive seismometer, Jim Irwin trying to lay down the protected blanket over it.
The shadow is reading 091.
That's Irwin.
Roger.
Ed Findell in Mission Control is now zeroing the camera in on the discarded package cover there on the surface of the moon. Again, for the first time, the Earth is controlling the television camera, and it's being moved right and left, up and down. A zoom lens is moving in and back from this or that object. And we almost are beginning to take for granted the fact that our eyes are being transported to the moon for a very close look-see at the events taking place there, the actions of these astronauts. Much greater mobility and much greater view do we have than ever before. The astronauts have been outside 5 hours and 12 minutes, approximately. They have a maximum of about 7 hours. As the TV camera pans across the horizon, across Hadley Rill, we can see what's called Bennett Hill, off some 10 or 15 kilometers in the distance.
Okay, Joe, drilling rack, going to the first probe.
Okay, Dave Scott apparently has already drilled one of the heat probe holes in the surface. The camera, I believe, is coming around
right
to his position.
Because the rammer was packed into one on the right today.
Roger, Dave.
There is some extra sunlight getting into the camera lens, reflecting and sort of shadowing or blurring the lens, but we can still see
Checks
clearly.
Out, Joe?
The astronaut's bounding about easily.
Checks out.
There's Dave Scott using his lunar drill.
I'm in a shallow depression here, Joe, and there's no way of getting around it. There's just nothing really flat. There's a little rim here, a little slight rise further to the north. Maybe Mark would like it up there.
That's Dave Scott describing his present position. He's actually looking back toward the camera here. The astronauts will stay out a maximum of 7 hours. Drill there, he says.
Okay.
Right where you stand.
Thank you.
He's asking for approval from Earth. He knows that the Earth can't see where he's located.
Like, sometimes those guys have
He backed up and
he's
in a slight depression. And he will drill there, and he can get quick answers from Mission Control when the camera is on him, and they can see what he's talking about. And that's about all the time we have to bring you this event. We've been describing the activities of Dave Scott and Jim Irwin on the surface of the moon during this first extravehicular excursion. All going well. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
You've been listening to the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 15. To the moment, it's been a very successful lunar surface mission. Astronauts Scott and Irwin were obviously pleased with the performance of their lunar rover, which allowed them to ride along the canyon rim of Hadley Rill and to St. George Crater, then back to home base and Falcon. They are now assembling a lunar science station in the vicinity of the lunar module. Following completion of the first EVA later today, the astronauts will take a long rest before their second extravehicular period, scheduled Sunday, August 1st. The Voice of America will return to the air at 11 hours 15, Sunday, August 1st, as the astronauts prepare their lunar car for a second traverse. The Voice of America also will continue to report fully on the progress of Apollo 15 during its regular broadcasts. Our thanks to astronaut Fred Hayes and Rhett Turner at Houston. This program has come to you from the United States of America.